This is a session for Greg, recorded on February 23rd, copyright 2010, New Grand View Incorporated, all rights reserved, and we're starting at 10:52 a.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good afternoon.
Okay, Greg, go ahead.
Greetings, Ion. In my time that I've spent with the evergreens and the subconscious, there's a relationship that has become so dear and so close to me. And in the few hours of your talkings that I've listened to, you've never mentioned the subconscious. In relationship to how I understand the subconscious, would you please relate to me how you view it vis-a-vis my life?
Sure. Well, we like any title that you give it. We don't use subconscious because the average bear human creator in a meat sack, blood and bone, guts and imitable sources, a subconscious actually gives it the rhetoric that it would be less than. And when we speak of non-physical, from a conscious being aware or awareness, we say that from your consciousness that there would never be a state or a gauge of a subconscious. It would be like a subculture. There may be subcultures, but we never recognize them as less than. And then it's just the play on the word more than it is the inference that you're trying to drive, because we see your subconscious as your non-physical. All the parts of you that we're trying to combine or get you to combine as the marvelous creator with your physical, non-physical, as long as it doesn't offend the labyrinth of your mind, which is what would prompt you to ask the question, of course. So we have no problem with it. We just don't call it that because of the potential connotation of the sub or less than or substrata of the conscious.
Right. Good. Well, as I was mentioning to Bob, I think the reason that it got hung on the label low self, subconscious, is because it did not, the word I've got is mature.
Yeah.
As consciousness or mid-self or high-self, spiritual self, evolved.
Yeah.
Through our lives. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly correct. And we go even so far as to divide that with the duality of every conversation is two conversations, as you well know, but to even divide it into what we call three kingdoms, which means you have the outer kingdom, the inner kingdom, and the middle kingdom. And the middle kingdom is what we recognize, which you would recognize as your now. Now, and with the duality, you can be in your now in an ascended position, running full steam physical, full steam non-physical, and your mind sort of eases off the pleathering clouds that will distract you from your conscious knowingness. That activates all kinds of powers that would make you supernatural. And we don't like that word either, because supernatural says that you're more than you can be. And we say you can be, do, or have anything that you would like to be, do, or have. So there would never be a supernova effect of physicalness.
So non-physical,
yes.
In listening to your sessions, would be,
yes,
more akin to what I understand as the low self, subconscious, unconscious.
Yes, and that allows all those dynamics as you know them. Now, and you listen to how we're responding, we're kind of with you in your understanding. And if it's separate from that, you'll notice we catch you and go, no, it's not the way you think it is. But no, in this particular case, it's exactly as you know it. Because, see, it's the process that we go through is, I think I know. You may or may not have heard that, where you go, well, I think I know. Well, I think I know. Well, once you know, all of a sudden you're having a way different conversation, and it's very delightful because that's the essence building blocks of your knowing, of your ascension, or activating your non-physical or your conscious subconscious genius. So what was it, the Church of the Subgenius? That rolled around for a bit at a time back in the Worcester days. So and Cosmically Aware and that whole crowd, which did a great work bringing folks up to snuff to where they could be. We say should have been, but there is no time, so that just becomes catchwords that can soothe the savage beast.
Well, the study of Huna is probably the most accurate that I have ever read in public knowledge as to the relationship between the three selves.
Yes, if you understand the dialectic that is laid out, you see, most of that gets sort of sieved to such a degree that it kind of, like true deist or some of the Buddhist work, kind of gets so evaporated you can't really tell the forest from the trees. So it is the clearest way of understanding the division between those degrees or levels of consciousness. We agree.
Okay. Now the division, I mean, that's a really interesting word, because what Huna works on is removing the division.
Exactly. But most of the work is laid out acknowledging the divisions that you're trying to get rid of.
Okay.
The same problem with Buddhists. If you get rid of desire, if you quench desire, then in exchange you receive enlightenment. And we say, wait a second, hold on. That's a desire. So you've got to undo your desire to get your desire. Well, it becomes the cart chasing the horse rather than the horse pulling the cart.
Right. And in my unfamiliarity with discussing these topics with you, I know it's so easy to hang on the word because this is a little difficult to describe that relationship of myself with myself.
Yes, and if you notice, even in your works, as you are a marvelous, marvelous, magical teacher of being able to communicate, as you well know, in your position to be able to communicate the words, what happens is your students are only as good as the worst word they get hung up on.
Right.
It sometimes makes the block. If they have rules in their mind, what you'll find is that the student, even if the teacher gets it, the student will not usurp any rule or belief. And what's a belief? It's just a thought you've been thinking for a long time. To bring that into a place, it's very difficult to overcome a belief. So if they get hung up on something, that's where it stops, and they hear nothing past that until they get that part, you know, sort of the roughness soothed down on it a bit.
Right. Because the belief is the block for you accepting it in your world as a potential reality.
Correct. It's the door breaker. It's the deal breaker that stops at the door.
Okay.
The answer can be delivered via FedEx, but if you don't open the door and don't receive the package, you see you didn't get there. Now, that's if we have a challenge, and we don't, but if we had a challenge, we haven't found one yet. If there were a challenge, we don't recognize it. If there was a challenge, it would be that the human creator has to be in the place of asking. Because if they're not in the place of asking, the most marvelous, superfluous words that you could utter that could move heavens and earth wouldn't do them any good. So we are only limited by the asker, and we have to mind our non-physicalness that we don't run around answering questions that haven't been asked.
Well, as the Evergreen said, one of the greatest challenges in Huna is finding out what the person would accept. It's no use giving them a zottel when they need a dollar.
Exactly correct.
So, you viewing just my teaching, point out just one or two or three or four misconceptions that I am operating on now in my understanding of Huna and that personal relationship.
Okay, very good. The way the subconscious applies to the bringing or melding together of your three phases of man. dynamic by which you allow your own understanding to achieve a level of, well, kiss could say, getting it. Sometimes you allow, you get it, and they should get it, and sometimes they don't. And the layers of being able to communicate it so that everyone, every single time without fail or exception, gets it, that's the break. That would be the less than portion of your otherwise very perfect words. Following through the rest of the story, the Paul Harvey version of the story. That make it aware, make it pliable, make it here is your empirically referenced proof. Because if it's half as good as you say it is, you ought to be able to prove it. And you can do that. And the examples are readily available, of course. But they have to be active within the individual human creator that is engaging in the work, you say. You're good. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if I am, and before class, I normally pray that I do speak to those who have questions.
Certainly.
So that I allow
what
my...
What does pray mean?
Focus my intention on an intent.
Not so much. Pray very simply from the Elizabethan. It's just to ask. You're asking for the askers. You're praying for the prayers.
Yeah.
So
that,
and if the prayers show up, then you're asking for the askers is asked correctly. But does it have to be limited to that dynamic? Why is it that these words can't move, hopefully with compassion, the individual human creators to even the worst of the worst of the worst come to a place of, I don't know what you're talking about, and it doesn't make any sense, and it sounds like a bunch of woo-woo to me, and I don't know who you are and what you're all about and what this is all about. However, I took a wrong turn in the hallway, and I landed myself in here. Now, teacher, what words do you have to move me to a place of understanding how I did not indeed make a wrong turn? And that's the ones that become a focused energy, or what you use as synergy, that move them to a place of going, well, of course, if you can help the least of these, then you can help the best of these. Then your faith develops feet. Then Huda's work becomes allowable. And that's a break or disconnection that's significant, that allows you to be the very best that you already are. You see, because it's by example. And we don't mean you just because you can do it, everybody can. But if you can't, how in the world is someone else going to embrace it? Folks are people. The human creators are waspish. They sort of turn on themselves. So it has to be something that they can embrace. And that there should be no, reciprocity involved in the engaging of the work. So if they can't do it, are they less than?
Well, I use Huda stories.
Yes,
actual examples of what's happened in my life that are
good. That's perfect, because see, then that's how it becomes a part of your knowing. And once you know, I know. Perfect. No problem. You've hit a home run. But here's the extra dynamic that you've got to add. You must come to the realization, well, no, you should. You don't have to. But it certainly will serve you well if you humbly could come to the understanding of the dynamic that people do not know what they like. They like only what they know.
And familiarity.
Well, familiarity breeds contempt.
Anything else to add to that?
Well, no. I mean, that's sort of strong enough. but now, please, You have to understand the way you ask the question. That's how you got it. We're not pushing against it because you've done more than. Well, we don't want to say that you've superseded Michael Blake Reed's intention of what he was allowing to flow fluidly through his world, okay? But if you had communication with Ellie, she certainly would understand the basis that you have gone light years ahead of where they even hoped that the work would go.
Sure.
So that becomes delightful, and it's not a problem. You're on the right track, and ain't nobody hurt. So it's a good day.
Well, thank you. In communicating with your low self, subconscious mind, the Evergreens have said that it is not the goal, but the emotion of the end result of the goal that is what the subconscious then creates in your reality. So it's not that you want to go to Barbados. It is the emotion of being in Barbados that is activates the reality.
Well, we don't like reality because you could be in Barbados and not believe you're in Barbados, and you'd be in Barbados, and the GPS would say you're in Barbados, and you'd say, no, 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 I'm in St. Kitts.
Okay.
See, so reality, we don't. Reality is subjective. You see, but yes, if you're in Barbados and you have the reality that you're in Barbados, and that was a desire of a realized creation that had been made manifest in your physical meat sack bodiness that didn't offend the labyrinth of your mind, hip, hip, hooray, that's a perfect statement. But otherwise, maybe not so much. But the beginning place of the thought process, we get it the other way. People have conversations and they go, I want him to go to Barbados. And we say, well, what's in Barbados? And they say, we don't know. And I was like, well, how do you know you want to go to Barbados? Well, we heard that it was a nice place to vacation, and they could swim with the fish, and they had nice turtles, and the girls were pretty, and it was just the way the thing to do. Well, great, but if you get there and you don't find that to be in your reality, then it becomes a less than experience, even though it is sometimes the impossible dream to even engage or have that in your reality. So we'd start asking questions back. What's in Barbados? Well, the sun is beautiful. They don't have snow. It's not cold. I'm from Minnesota. It's very cold here, and it's yucky, and you can't go outside, and you freeze to death, and blah, 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 blah. When they start telling about how wonderful it is and what they find or want that to be in their experience, and if Barbados lines up with that strata that you've described, then it most absolutely will become available, and you're calling it your lower self. Well, we have great compassion for you, but we're not going to change our words. Your non-physical provides the ability and capacity for that to be a reality in whichever self that's in the now. Okay? Now, that's how everything works.
Yes, okay. Well
good.
Said, yeah. The non-physical provides for that to be
option. Makes it available. Makes it available. And even more than an option, it'll provide it explicitly. However, here's the however. You've got to receive it. You've got to bring it to yourself. You've got to allow it into your middle kingdom, into your now. Otherwise, they could buy you the ticket. They could, you know, put a gun to your head and make you go.
So do you have, can you add then anything to that statement that it is the emotion of the end result of the goal that provides the delivery?
The emotion will move you, but the emotion will also turn on you. So we don't even like it from the emotion standpoint, because if you understand, love is not an emotion. And see, when you start tangling up what things are, people will attach something like love as an emotion when it's not. And then they start applying it to your teachings, and then they get crossways. Well, I wanted my lover, and I love my lover, but now I don't. Well, where does an emotion take you astray outside of the dynamic of something as simple, as easy as what you call love? So as long as you are carefully understanding what actual emotions are to emote, okay, if you understand that, then it's much easier to attack this the fluidity of your otherwise very good statement. We say that the emotion is not the driving factor at all. The thought is enough to allow the creation to be manifest in your reality. And once it is manifest in your reality, then it can cause an emotion. Okay? So emotion is not required. It is certainly a part for the desire that you want, but there's a great big stack of human creators who have created a bloody flux, a mess. And did they do that through emotion? No, they're having the emotion after they did it, after they manifested it. Because everything that is in their reality, they individually, single-handedly, all by themselves, created and allowed to be made manifest in their reality. Without fail or exception.
No argument that thought begins it, but considering the human has so many idle thoughts, with so few of them acted upon by the non-physical.
Oh, they are all acted on by the non-physical. Every thought that's ever been thunk still is.
Well,
non-physical is not released a single thought.
But when I
every
walk
thought.
Past so-and-so at the office and I say,
yes,
that guy gives me a pain in the ass, I don't wake up with hemorrhoids the next day.
Well, some hemorrhoids aren't a pain in the ass. Some reference of the pain in the ass that becomes your words sets them into emotion, and your non-physical says, oh, pain in the ass. And the next thing you know, that's causing contrast. Then the next thing you know, your boss or those over you in your office will put him not only next to you, but in your cubicle. And you'll get contrast to the point that you get to deal with it. And if you don't deal with it, it could turn into a fist fight. And if it does turn into a fist fight, it could turn into a slingshot or a bow and arrow or a double-barrel butcher knife. And then the next thing you know, you got rid of him. If it was the fastest path to his joy, and then you spend the rest of your days wondering why it was so bad about him that you felt you had to be accused of murder in his behalf.
But in most cases, my point of view, non-physical does not act upon those idle thoughts that you have, such as the guy's a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm. They do.
There must. What is the distinguishing?
The labyrinth of the mind. The labyrinth of the mind. The labyrinth of the mind. And here's the validation of that. Let's say you hurt your arm, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you think it's broken, okay? Well, how do you know? Well, there's really no difference in a really, really deep bruise or sprain than a broken limb. The only way you can know is to go have it x-rayed. Well, you have it x-rayed, and then the only difference is how they handle it. They'll either put it in a sling or they'll put it in a cast. But the pain, the emotion wrought from the end result of you hurting your arm, is actually the same. So the validation is up to the thought process that non-physical will then provide the evidence of things not seen.
Okay.
So then when you get the x-ray, and then you say, you tell your loved one, see, I told you it was broken. See, you use the x-ray as the proof that it was broken all along. Or this surprise that, wow, this is great, it's not broken, I'm really happy about that. But you know, it hurts like hell, it hurts like it might as well have been broken. And we say, yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. So that's all, and it's just the slightest aberration of the tenure of the idea. That's all. It's just that it must, in our world, it almost must work every single time without failure or exception, or like time itself can become the basis of a false premise. Well, then you start living your life based on a false premise, and the best you can hope for is a stick in the eye.
When I smashed, not smashed my hand, but held a pipe, hit it with a hammer, looked at my hand and said, oh, I really hurt it, and then heard my voice say, put it in source.
Yeah.
And I dipped my hand in the imaginary source.
Yes.
I watched all the pain disappear before
Absolutely.
My eyes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, what
Absolutely.
Were the dynamics working there, Ion?
Your non-physical listened to your thought. Your thought was gosh, there's always relief when I stop hitting myself in the hand with a hammer. And there is. And that pain, which pain is not a bad thing, you see. Pain is just a reaction. Reaction. Not even an action. It's a reaction. Pain is good. Otherwise, you could knock your toe completely off getting up to go pee in the middle of the night.
Agreed.
It reminds you you have digits on your feet. And if you cram them into something, you might even have an expletive that goes along with it. And that's good because it reminds you that those toesies are attached.
So I allowed non-physical.
Your very own non-physical. Yes.
Yes. To go where there was no pain, there was no damage, my hand didn't hurt it, as if I didn't do it instantaneously.
That's correct. That's exactly correct. And here's the validation. You could run, you could have yourself hooked up to an EEG machine while you're engaging in this beating off your limbs, and you would notice that sharpness within the brainwave reaction, the knee, what you call a knee-jerk reaction. And then you can also then relax that place. Those synaptic neuron responders, okay, can answer immediately. Because, see, your body naturally corrects and adjusts every perfect balance within your body every single time without its fail or exception anyway, okay? Everybody's got cancer cells. And some people want to be an overcomer, so they'll engage cancer so they can overcome it. And some people never react it. Some people have the fewest and end up dying of it, you see, if they choose to. So your body naturally responded to your mind's eye's ability to allow source, non-physical, pure positive source energy to adjust it immediately. Boom. There it is.
Yep.
It's called an instant manifestation. And it's good, and it's very powerful. Now, let's open it up a little bit. Let's say you've been very dry in your area and you want rain, and you can bring a flood. Let's say you want to go boogie boarding at the beach, and so when you go to the water, the waves increase. Let's say you it was a pretty warm day, and it's kind of humid, and you'd like a nice breeze, and you can usher up a hurricane if you like. The winds and the waves obey your will. Your will.
Define will.
Your will, your inside thought process. Excuse me. Your inside thought processes. Your will. Your will being done.
Yes. And I've had in the last couple of years, and I believe it's because I've focused more on my non-physical or my relationship with my non-physical. Many, many of those experiences.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, it's almost as if non-physical is presenting it to me without me requesting it because I
That's
don't
correct. That's correct.
Remember.
Right, remember. You didn't remember it the first time because it's always been a part of you.
Right.
You don't have to remember. You can just allow it to be a member. That's like I didn't show up for my re-coronation. Well, they don't have many re-coronations, do they? If you're coronated as a deity, as a god, as a king, it's one time through. They don't have them every second Sunday. Good.
Okay. So if let's just for this discussion, if the objective was that non-physical ease and grace in living
we're going on a good place. And you're getting an experience right now of what your actual time is, if you engage time. Because what's happening is you're getting a break. It's almost like the cadence of the tap of the silence or interruption. And we want you to we hear you, but we want you to restate it so it's clear on your recording that Bob is so kind of just to send you. So you have the words clear without the breaks.
Ion, yes, I noticed the static we get on the radio show started happening in the last 2 minutes. That's what you're referring to, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Where is that
coming
from?
That's the experience. It's from your experience of time.
So
it's what time really is.
It's me and Greg doing this.
Well, and you get to play with it, and you get the empirical references that you can go, wow, how did non-physical do that? Well, non-physical didn't. You did. But non-physical is trying to explain how there's no time. And so, therefore, you want proof. Proof. Okay, well, there's your proof.
I heard the static. It was just a hiss. But you're hearing a breaking up, like the
Okay,
yes. I didn't hear that part. I'm hearing the static.
But the hiss is what is that reference of timing, because there is timing. And all we're saying is we're pointing it out not for anything other than just the reference, but so you have a clear recording when you're asking.
It's pretty clear, but he didn't break up from my perception in the recording, I assume. But saying the hiss is indicative of timing?
Time.
Okay, time. All right. So sorry, good. Greg, just that's what he was referring to.
Yeah, we just wanted to be clear so you don't get it and go, well, what is all this corruption on my recording? So that's why we're being pointed.
Okay, thank you. If the objective for non-physical to allow that living with ease and grace, and using my hand in source as an example, that it disappeared, then how are we to amplify that ability, which I know, not good words, but how do we not allow it to happen?
Good. Here we go. This is easy, and you're going to like this part, because it's going to take you much of this off your hook, basically. See, here's the fun of it. Non-physical doesn't care. Non-physical doesn't want to engage anything. Non-physical can't create anything. Non-physical is non-physical. It doesn't have a dog in the fight. It is contrastless. It has no desires. It has no wantings. It has no dog in the fight at all. It is, however, pure positive source. As you spoke about it, the correct, it's available. It's there. It's already available. It doesn't care. See, you don't, God, we make the statement, people, what we say God is, we don't like to even use the word God, because what God is, people think God is, God isn't. If you could come into your own power and not be offended by being called God, then you got it, and we can move forward. But see, God doesn't care what kind of car you drive. God doesn't care. And you're the God. So whatever please yourself. So if the non-physical isn't trying to move you with an unction of getting this. Non-physical doesn't care, because you're already non-physical. You're as much non-physical as you ever are going to be. But what you're actually asking, is, how do I get my meat sack in the labyrinth of my mind to understand this clear and present help that's already been provided to me? Here we go. We have an example. If you ask someone pray, you ask someone to do something for you, and they've already done it, it gets kind of redundant to be asking for it after they've already done it, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, it's already done. If you have capacity to ask and it's already done, you're spinning your wheels, but yet the wheels on the bus go round and round. You take yourself with you most everywhere you go. Every thought, every desire, every quantitative knowing, every tidbit of knowledge, unknown, known, realized, unrealized, already is. So for you to come into the place of getting your power that you've already got, you just have to activate it. We say relax and allow, okay? Relax and allow. And if it's a great big topic and you have a big thing about it, then you might better ease off the gas. Because if you're just sort of scoping along, you know, it's no big deal. But if you're going a couple hundred miles an hour and you hit a tree, it's going to be huge. You see, because your velocity is not controlled by your non-physical. Your velocity is controlled by your physical and the labyrinth of your mind.
Relax and allow is a pretty small prescription for having non-physical. Based upon HUNA, the fact that I'm, you know, teaching it based on 26 sessions, and we filter down 26 sessions of creating your reality and enjoying that beautiful you that you are, to relax and allow.
Yeah.
That kind of doesn't cut it. I get it. I mean, I understand relax and allow, but, you know, that order will get you on a bus in most places where we're here to serve, and I'm just choosing to serve. That's what I like to do.
Good, good. It's the fastest path to your joy.
But relax and allow is insufficient, Ion.
Interesting. That might be fun. Very soon, they'll have finished a bit of work on what the words relax and what the words allow mean, and you may find it a bit profound.
Okay.
It's great fun, because there again, when you say relax, that means be easy, and you say allow, let it come in. Okay, but if you stop there, that's just the beginning place.
Okay.
So, very good.
Okay. So, with regards to, let's say, people experiencing a healing, and again, just in the traditional word of man. I know. Give me a second here. In the understanding of the arm was broken, or to the appearance of meat sacks around you, the arm was broken.
Yeah, and the bone was sticking through the flesh of the body. That's a pretty good indicator.
Yep.
It is
real sharp with red colored stuff everywhere.
Yeah, a lot of marrow squirting all over the place. Yeah, that's
and
right.
And then a moment later, it is no longer broken because of some intervention called a psychic healer, a spiritual healer, call it perfect healing, call it Qui Gong with an apricot in your ear. What is it that causes that change? Is it focusing on the energy body?
That's better. Healing is what you do to a dog. You command a dog to heal, and it lays down. It's a response. Healing is a response. And there is no healing unless it's to learn how to lay on someone else's porch. Or even if they kick you in the head, you still lay on the porch. There is no healing. We like to use Jesus as a good referendum at this point. Jesus never healed anyone. Jesus only, all three of those Jesuses, only saw people as whole, complete. And when they saw themselves as whole, complete, instantaneously they were. That's how God works, you see. And that when Jesus was a God, and he said, and these things you will do, and greater things than I have done. It's coming into your power. So this aspect of the power that you're speaking of is just your body's natural response, the same way as if you have a reflex and they tap your knee and you kick your knee a bit. That doesn't seem too airy-fairy odd. That's just a reflex. Well, having appendages come back, that's also normal. But if it offends the labyrinth of your mind so much so that it sends you to a place of asking the question, then apparently there's an issue within the labyrinth of your mind that segregates you from the ability or the reality of the knowing that you indeed are all-knowing, all-powerful, and a God in your own creation. So if you go at it from that angle, it's odd if your hand doesn't naturally take care of itself or your arm doesn't naturally come back into its place. See, that seems more foreign to us. But we're just trying to give you the high sign so you can embrace it.
When I put my hand in source, I did not see it as whole at that moment. Following a voice in my head. I wasn't instructed, as in, okay, kneel down, genuflect twice, and say Allah.
So if I come upon
somebody who has a broken arm, and I choose to see it as whole,
won't do them any good.
Right, but some people have that ability and some don't, Ion. So I would like to know what is the difference between the ones that see it as whole and it becomes whole.
Good, good, good.
And again, the word's not good, it becomes whole. It always was whole.
Yes, that's right, that's right, that's right. Here you go. That's easy. That's an easy one. Here you go. Once you come into your place of knowing, okay, you know it. That means if you know it and you have some contrast in your reality, okay, and you have this knowing, this ability to know, where you don't think, you don't hope, you don't trust, you don't ask, you don't ponder, you don't do any of those things, you just know. See, if you go over and you turn on the dark switch, oh wait, no, sorry, light switch, although it turns the light off as many times as it turns it on, you don't have to go into trance to wonder if the light's going to come on or not, because it's naturally in your place of knowing to push the switch and the light is on, correct?
Yes.
That's normal, correct?
Correct.
Now, so how do you convince someone who's never had a light switch that all they have to do is walk over and push the little button and the light will come on? Well, you show them. And they don't even understand it. They don't know what electricity is. You don't either. They don't know how electricity works. You do, but it's very marginal. And yet your belief system will somehow allow the experience of
the light coming on
by using the dark switch.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you're asking, what's the difference? Okay, here's the difference. It's a practical knowing, that they have brought themselves physically within the confines of the labyrinth of their mind that allows non-physical to interact. So they speak of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, pick your words, we don't care, just make it into three if you want to. We're trying to make it one, right? And the words are very simple, and that's the essence of your teaching, is to come into your power. And it's not your job to start to save the world, because the world isn't broken. The world isn't less than. They are. And they are where they are because they created it, or it wouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
So your question is perfect, and you've taken us to a place we've never gone to before, of how do you share in the form of non-physical to non-physical? Do you be compassionate toward the person? There's a wreck on the side of the road. Their head's chopped off. You got to figure out what to do. You're the one that's obviously engaged in this process. And you get out and see the person as whole. And if they have that belief system or know that that reality is theirs to embrace, then their head attaches and they get up and they say, gosh, I'm so glad you were here, because I was pretty far away from my head, and I had a rule, if it's off my body, I can't do it. But you moved it 6 inches closer, so it activated the non-physical part of me that I already knew was already working, and I'm going to stay. I'm an eternal being, you see, because I'm going to be here forever. And I just soon stay in my creator mode. And so, thanks so much for showing up. And it really wasn't your job, but I really do appreciate you moving with compassion, as seeing my potential ability to manifest my own reality in your presence.
Knowing, and again, describing it as a not thing, is no contrast.
Correct.
Being that knowing is no contrast.
That is exactly correct.
So you don't
see. Therefore, the perfect world. So therefore, in a perfect world, when you reach bliss or get so happy you're blissful, then but you always have a degree of contrast, because then you start qualifying your happiness, your bliss. Well, I have no contrast, and so therefore everything is settled and there's nothing to discuss and all is right and well with the world, and my world's perfect, yours can be too, and if it's not, that's your choice because you're working through some contrast. You come forth to mix it up. As a creator, you come forth to mix it up. And that contrast is just your process of the game, and we don't want to use the wrong word, but you've engaged in play. Some people say life is a participation sport. Okay? So when you come forth with contrast, you can control the degree or level of contrast that you want to deal with and allow. It doesn't have to be a huge, great, big thing. It can be a tiny, little, bitty thing. And yet, people get used to whatever you drink in the morning for breakfast, if that's coffee or tea or water or whatever, whatever. And then now Bob will start saying, oh, be careful, you're going to get iron on a tea tail. But if you start understanding the dynamic of what really has to happen for you to have a cup of coffee, it becomes that you've moved heaven and earth just to have coffee. But you get someone very accustomed to having their Java or their double espresso, double mocha latte in the morning, and you deprive them of their inalienable right to their caffeine consumption. And let me tell you, you better know who you are in the physical, because they can take you out if you stand between them and the pot. You see? That's because they're used to that. They're used to that. That's not a creation. Yes, it is. Well, that's not a manifestation. Yes, it is. Juan Valdez had to pick them beans and put it on that burra and walk it 100 miles. They had to plant geraniums and marigolds around them because it's a very delicious fruit and the bugs love them, but you can't use pesticides and import that wonderful coffee into this country. Then you've got to let them cure. Then you've got to roast them. Then you've got to spin them. Then you've got to let them dry. Then you got to make sure the moisture content is certain degree. Then you got to bag them up. Then you got to get them through customs. Then you got to have them inspected. Then you got to make sure that the drug snaking dogs aren't letting you bring cocaine or coca into the country. And then you got to go through the distribution. And then Maxwell House has to buy them. And then they have to resort them. And then they have to recalculate and grade them.
We live in a miracle every day, don't we?
Absolutely. And it goes all the way down to your coffee maker and the water out of your tap or your bottle or your desalination.
And the electricity from coming thousands and hundreds of miles away.
Exactly. So when you start looking at it that way, all of a sudden you go, wow, I'm a pretty spectacular, marvelous creator, even if it's by default.
Mm-hmm.
You see, well, you have many things in your world that you didn't personally create, but yet they're in your reality.
Sure. You agreed to participate.
And then, therefore, by default, you bring them into your reality. And therefore, they are. So, you don't get crossways with anyone else's creation or reality. And when you do, that's when you get. That's when you'll separate yourself from yourself. You see? So you come to an easy place of, let's say, we were talking about faith healers. We were talking about bringing in the power. We're talking about how to recognize your own power. We're talking about how to get others to understand that they have a power and they can also recognize it through miracle, mystical wondersment of the stars and numerology, and it really is all to do with Bob's chart. You'll have to check with Bob, and he'll let you know how you're doing within his chart. And every other dynamic that you'd like to play with, you see. But if you understand that there is indeed duality, two conversations, every possibility, it has duality, even the kingdoms. That's the essence and the basis of what they call string theory. That's the essence of what they call the newest, new technology, where planets are actually becoming photon emitters or wave radio theory, where planets are actually creating radio waves. Pretty interesting, and it's very new, and it's been there all along. You've just now decided to figure it out to make it the fastest path to your joy, that knowing can now also be in your arsenal of understanding.
Thank you.
Yes.
In seeing things as whole, as in an example for healing, let's say seeing something as whole is my business, what I do day to day for, financial remuneration. If I saw that as being whole as, let's say, a target of $100,000 in revenue a month.
Okay.
Seeing that as whole, what is the practical mindset for that to occur?
Well, okay.
Because I don't
see
it.
What you're asking,
you know, I'm
for.
Asking it because I don't see it happening.
Well, that's right. Because what you're really saying is non-physical. How can I get a worky job that I can get a money check in the equivalence to $100,000 a month and not see the world as broke? Okay.
Which, you know, I mean, I'm pretty good at this stuff. I run my own business, and I have a pretty good space with it.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Absolutely.
It's not where I want it to be. Let's put it that
okay.
way.
Then
I see it going there. I see it going there.
Okay. Sure. Get over it. Let it go. Do it for free. Why can't money? Why can't money just flow freely and easily to you?
I knew you were going to say that.
Well, yeah. Imagine that. If it's not about the Benjamins, then you're going to leave Benjamin out of it. But if you're going to bring it in about Benjamin, Bob and James have already destroyed the economy because time is money and money is time and there is no time, so there is no money. And just be sure, whatever you do, don't tell President Obama what's the next thing that comes after a trillion.
Mm-hmm.
See, don't enlighten him because it will not serve you well. You see, the issue that comes into this place is if you get so happy in your place of being, in your contrastless environ, we would start this way. Why do you want $100,000 a month?
In revenue, it's a target for the growth of my business.
Why? Does that mean you're better at it because you can do $100,000 worth a month?
Providing more service, and it's a model for my expression as the president of this company, let's say. I employ people.
Who? So you provide worky jobs so you can get money checks so you can give them money checks. So they can have money checks too. Cool. Interesting. Okay. Now, we're not having a problem with their issue. We're just dividing. We're doing a bit of divination here so that you understand the dynamic that you're creating. And if you get that and it still suits you, tear it up. You know, hey, that'll work. That absolutely works. We say that 15 minutes worth of work a week is plenty enough for any human creator. If it's taking you more than 15 minutes, you're doing it wrong. Or you just like the contrast, or you want to get, I want to work my worky job so I can get.
Or you're mixing it up, in your words.
Pretty much, yeah. Because if you think you have to be worthy to get your money check, you might turn on you. And then you might whack off your hand. You may whack off your hand and can't do your surgery anymore with a chainsaw. So, don't make it about the money. Don't use that as a qualifier to see how well you're doing. Mm-hmm. Because if you make it about that, then the best you can hope for is the least you can accomplish.
Right.
So, now, if it ain't about the money check and it ain't about the worky job, what's the fastest path to my joy? I want to make myself available to people to let them know that they can be, do, be, or have anything they'd like to be, do, or have. Okay, how do I do that? Okay, do it by example. Stop meddling in everybody else's business and show them how they can work out their own affairs. And that everything that they've created so far, they created. And if you get a human creator to understand that, they'd go, my God, I must be fabulous to screw it up as badly as I have. Nobody could do that. Easy. So then you see, nobody had a problem with the housing industry when everybody was getting $1 million houses and their payment was 99 cents a month and they were all fat and happy and just rolling along till all of a sudden and the tax man was happy, he was getting more revenue, municipality was happy, they had plenty of money and everything was lots of money and everything was going good, everything was just why? Just couldn't get any better. Then all of a sudden somebody said, look out, it's all crumbling down. And then they go, uh-oh. Now when it all comes crumbling down, that's going to affect employment. No jobs, no worky jobs, no worky money. So you're going to lose your house that you don't own. But if you own your house, you don't lose it, you see.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. If you can believe source for the payment, why can't you believe source for the amount equal to the amount of the house? Okay? So then you get crossways, and then it becomes this by-default situation. Now everybody's up in arms. They're all ripping and screaming and yelling and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, they didn't have that regard when all this was being created out of nothingness. You see, there was a tremendous amount of wealth that was created from an HELOC, a home equity line of credit.
Yes, sure.
So that, but they didn't have a problem then. When they was writing them money checks, was no problem. The only time it was a problem is that they had to be accountable for their creation. You see? And that is the good news, because now you're down to the only thing that'll ever work anyway. Now, bringing that back full circle to your question is, share what you know, not what you think you know, but what you know. And they'll come to you. You've noticed that you attract people into your experience who resonate with your words, and they are perfect words. We don't have any problem with anything. We're answering your questions and even fine-tuning it again. But do you remember the old radios that had the squelch that redefined or super-tuned the frequency that honed into a logarithm or a tangent of a wave? That's all you're really asking. You're saying, how do I adjust my squelch a bit so that I maximize my wavelength coefficient to reach the most tangented wavelength within my environment?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was asking.
Exactly. Okay, here's how you do it. You simplify it all. Go to the lowest common denominator. How do you calculate waves? If you have theta waves and beta waves and alpha waves, how do you tell the difference? Well, there's a contraptions that they use to measure those. Well, if you're using the differential, got to look that word up to make sure you know what it means. If you give a differential between those two waves of your lower self, ascended self, and self, we're sorry, we're being cheeky. We don't mean to be, but we couldn't resist. When you figure that out, all of a sudden the difference between the self and the lower self and the upper self or the ascended self all become in the field of your gaze. So in 2.3 seconds, you can sit down with a human creator, find out a few things about them, know where they are, and give them clear, definitive steps on a linear progression. Because, see, it's all about the linear. Well, no, not so much, but people think it is, but it's not. But it's a good place to start. It's a good place to start. If you know how to control your steps, when you got out of bed this morning, you got to your front door. You got to the door, you exit, okay, from a progression. Okay? That's a linear progression. So, therefore, you know you're on the right track if you were trying to go to work and you got out your house. Okay? Correct? So,
yes.
You simplify to the lowest common denominator from every human creator, even on a mass index, in a class situation, or one-on-one, or pick your profile, it makes no difference, and just basically bring them back to that place of understanding. And if they get that, get them where they are, where they understand. And don't worry about the money check. It'll chase you. It can chase you. But how effective could you be if your success wasn't gauged or predicated on how many money checks you got?
You said two things that I wrote down here that stuck out. One was belief source, and the other was share what you know.
Yes.
And, I'm pretty much, I think, fit the bill there. I mean, company motto is, our knowledge increases your knowledge. And I'm not sure you're going to find somebody with more faith than this guy sitting right here with regards to source.
Perfect, yes. Now, if we could just get some feet on your faith, you'd have it sewed up.
Okay.
Your faith requires feet for linear progression. Faith is never a strategy. Hope is never a strategy.
Well, that's good. Faith is never a strategy, right? Okay.
Because if you base it all on hope, what happens if you hope? That's, you know what hope is? That's from the old Edward II lineage. Yeah. To hope your neighbor is to help.
Right.
That's all hope is a help. I can't do it. I'm not powerful enough. I'm not God enough. So I need another God to help me. Because they have the skills to pay the bills. So I need another God to come help me because I'm less than. And you say, right quick, no. You have way more. This is all you've got, but it's way plenty enough. You couldn't contain any more than you already have. And you can't get any more because it's all you got. It's more than you could ever consume. But it is all you got. So you got
to... How do you...
Okay.
I'm just saying, faith with feet, how do you share that idea with people?
Well, we did it with you. We said, your faith, you have faith and you understand faith. Now all we need is feet. Well, what are feet? Feet are something that take your faith where you want it to go. Feet get to it. How did you get to work this morning? You took your feet, didn't you? Or did you take your faith? Did faith get you to work this morning? No, your feet did.
The feet.
Now, we want to qualify that because somebody may want to be jumping off a building. Okay? And we'd say to them, well, how do you do it? Well, you take your feet, you get up on a building, maybe take an elevator, walk to the edge, and jump. And they said, well, great. Okay, so that's how you do it. Yep, that's how you do it. Well, so you mean Ion, you're telling people how to jump off buildings. No, we're just answering the question of the fastest path to their joy. And guess what? That's what they're going to do anyway. And it's not your job or anyone else's job to deny them their inalienable right of jumping off a building. However, the one caveat we would add when we told them how to jump off a building, we'd say, now, we would suggest never, under any circumstances, take any action until you've asked and answered the question, is this the fastest path to my joy? Joy. And if you can say, yes, it's the fastest path to my joy, we say, jump. Bliss is on the way. You'll be a contrastless being, and it'll be over soon.
Mm-hmm.
Good. And you'll hit a home run every time. It's great. Now, we are being extreme. It's for the inflection so you can go, wow, okay, yeah, got it. Now, if you come to the place and you ask that question and it's not the fastest path to your joy, then we say, great, it's not over. Everything's all right. Nobody's hurt. You're good. No problem. Stop. Don't take one step any further. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Until it is the fastest path to your joy. And that's not forever. When you wake up in the morning, do you normally have an urge to empty your bladder?
Sure.
Okay. When you wake up before you get out of bed and you feel it, you kind of go, I think I gotta go pee. It's time to go pee. I think I'm gonna go pee. We say, nope. Ask the question, is it the fastest path to my joy to get up and go empty my bladder now? And if you say, no, it's not the fastest path to my joy, then don't get up. Stay there. Now you're saying, but wait, I'm feeling pressure in my bladder. Well, that's just contrast. Until you are able to know and answer the question to your full satisfaction that it is the fastest path to your joy to get up and go pee, then proceed, okay, and not beforehand. And if you do that every single time, your effort, your energy will be concentrated to your proximity of your creation. And for you, what will happen is it will go faster. If someone, you have all these employees, and you hired all these employees to make your world better, make it go easier to have assistance. And instead what you find is they spend all day, every day, bringing you these marvelous, wonderful ideas that you have to stop your world to consider.
Right?
Do they not?
Yes, they do. Oh, yes, they do.
And it distracts your creation from having to consider their opportunities of potential.
Mm-hmm.
And you give them a money check so they can help make your life easier. And instead, it makes your life harder because you have spent your energy confounded by their thought processes that you feel compelled to consider because you have to already, you've taken them on to raise to provide them with a money check. And then it's all of a sudden they're running you instead of you running your company.
Okay?
Now, $2.5-3 million a year, you'll go gray fast. But if you turn that around and they know not to bring that to you until it already is the fastest path to your joy, all of a sudden your life becomes bliss. They're such a marvelous creator, they can do it themselves, you see. But you're going to be master of your ship, well, great, no problem. But you've got to not take personal responsibility for your hirelings.
I agree.
It'll smooth your way much easier. Right. Or set aside a time for them to be able to share that and roundtable it and let them beat their own decisions up, their own directions up for themselves, and let them figure out what's drivel or what makes them more money and you have more bother.
I deal with some personality types that require being told what to do.
Oh, yeah.
That is their fastest path to joy, is being told.
To your joy. To your joy.
No, their fastest path is also to be told, go do this. Yes, it's okay. Nice job. That is also the fastest path to their joy.
Yeah. And if it's bringing you coffee that you like, okay, great. You know, that's the proper. They make great reservations, and they know what you like, and it's all good. We're not fussing. We're just saying, if that becomes the modus operandi, the very best you can hope for is division within your ability to have any say or capacity of your creation. It limits you. It doesn't increase you.
Right. I agree. This is a good start. Thank you.
Oh, and it's perfect because you've already got the tiger by the tail. You just don't want to get bit. See? So it's
crazy.
And you're all, in everything that you've gone over so far has been very precise, well thought out, well considered, and opens up vast paradigms of maybe contrast that allow you to move faster, because you're like, well, if this is this good, why isn't it working better? Well, it is working better. And how do you make it so? How do you increase the dynamic? How do you get everybody to understand this? How do you get at this place and people are running around, the gangbangers are doing what they do, and the terrorists are terrorizing what they terrorize, and all these dynamics, but it's nothing other than the meme of the moment.
True.
And it changes. That's what's constant, is the change.
Yes. As Mahatma Gandhi said, I take peace in knowing that all the terrorists of the world die eventually.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And it's so delicious, because the sky can fall, but it doesn't have to fall on you.
Nope. And I don't have the right words, but the blind optimist.
We love blind optimism. You know what that is? That's an activated human creator. Your words were good. Mine make more sense, only because you can embrace it. Because that blindness, the rods and the cones in your eye respond to everything. You see everything that is in your gaze. Now, your mind doesn't allow it. The optic nerve sometimes can cause pressure. They call it glaucoma. Mm-hmm. It can cause pressure. But every picture that you're, the rods and the cones in your eye, it doesn't delineate. It doesn't say, you're a good picture, I'm going to take you, and you're a bad picture, I'm going to delete you. No, you give them every single one, all of them, at the most explicit, finite, nanotechnology detail. Your mind, however, only allows certain things. And then you have to describe. When then we laugh, some people, now we wouldn't say this to you because you're well beyond this, but we finally would say after a little while, human creator, are you going to believe non-physical, or are you going to believe those lying eyes of yours?
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Because that's what it comes to, and you understand that dynamic, because there's not anyone on the planet so blind as those that were not allowed to see.
Non-physical, yeah, of course.
Yeah, because you've already got it. I mean, this isn't even something you have to subscribe to the Reader's Digest to get. You already have this.
Everybody, exactly.
Yeah, and they go, well, how do you know? And I said, well, how does the coroner tell if you're dead or not? And they go, well, you stopped breathing. I said, oh, there's lots of dead people. There's lots of live people that have stopped breathing. No, that they don't have oxygen. There's lots of people with COPD that can't get oxygen into their body and they're still alive. Well, no, wait. Well, they have all their appendages. There's lots of people running around the planet that are quadriplegic, or they've had them all cut off. They're just little stumps running around. They're still alive. Well, what is it? When you no longer, when you drop your meat sack, that's when you're still alive, but you're completely and non-physical. And that's how the coroner tells if you're dead, if the spirit's left you.
Sure. In the movie The Matrix, you know, they had a wonderful mechanism of pulling people away from the illusion.
Yes.
You know, they laid them down, put a little probe in the back of their head, and boom, they could see the illusion that existed out there.
Yes. It's strictly based on a binary code.
Right.
They only had a binary code. The Matrix only works in a binary code. And then here's what's fun. Inside the Matrix, guess what they had? The little black lady, who was always the cigarette-smoking, cookie-bacon oracle.
Oh, yeah.
And what did the oracle do? The oracle let them know where they were, because obviously they didn't know. Well, I knew you were going to come. Well, if I told you you were going to break that vase, would you have still broken the vase?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the answer is yes and yes. But if I tell you that, then you might not have done something and changed the whole your own path of understanding. So I'm only going to tell you what you allow to know. Are you the one, Neo?
Are you the one?
No, I don't think so. No, you're right, honey. I didn't think you were. You're right, honey. I didn't think you were. Because it's limited to the very, your highest aspiration. Isn't that like spit? Oh, wait. No, yeah. Your highest aspiration is limited to your lowest common denominator. Putting things into piles, the sieving of the evil ones among you. Anything, the oracle just smokes cigarettes and makes cookies and just is having a great time. It's all good. It's all good. Because when you come into the place of knowing, then all of a sudden you don't ask the oracle. You know. Now sometimes you have to consult non-physical to find your place of beingness. That's okay.
So I'm very big into consulting non-physical, and, you know, I live in a world of techniques without wanting to be a technique all my life. But no, I apply a technique for a while, then it becomes automatic, and I don't even think about it, and it happens anyway, like tying your shoe.
Absolutely.
Well, what are some techniques from your perspective for me at this place to communicate more, better,
oh, you're good. Those words are good. There's nothing wrong
with non-physical.
Okay. Consider your power. That's a good place to start. Consider your power. And cease limiting your understanding of you. Now, let's say that a different way so you don't get tangled up in the words. The distance between you and you, if it's a big hot topic that you're a long way from, the distance is vast. If it's tying your shoe, the distance between you and you is very close.
Yep.
Okay, the synchronicity is there. So, the trick is, how do you come into this knowing of, say, a simple process of tying your shoe? Well, it becomes a practice, it becomes something, a technique that you apply, that becomes normal, and you expect happy things in your experience. You like it when the solutions show up the exact same time the problem does. You have these words that come out of your mouth that necessarily validate your place of knowing, like, money flows freely and easily to me. I know who I am in God because God's already in me. I have come to the place where I have found my place of peace in my power. I am perfectly happy with where I am, and I'm ready for infinitely more. You must understand that I can be, do, or have anything that I choose to be, do, or have. Everything in my world is under my subjective, complete control. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Don't use that one at the stockholders meeting, but it's true.
Yeah. I temper that in some class situations, yes.
Well, blow it out. You said what you do different. Blow it out. Mm-hmm. If it's half as good as you say it is, then you ought to be able to just say it's this way. And if you like it, good. And if you don't, I'm not going to be the one to help you anyway.
And then I look around the room and I see some women who've been raped, been subject to incest, and yeah. I throw in a little caveat because they're not quite ready to be there yet.
Yeah. Ooh, don't bring us into that situation. Because you know what we say.
Exactly.
Well,
Greg.
It was the fastest way to your bliss.
Greg, it's mm-hmm. now an hour. You're going into the next part. Do you want to stop or do you want to go on for another and do another hour?
I've got to teach in about an hour and a half, and my brain's pretty full.
Well, it's very, very fun and delicious. What we'll do, you'll have more askings, and we're happy. We've enjoyed the interaction. We love enlightened question askers. It's very delicious. It moves and increases the heavens. That is how the world is increased, you see. You have several extra billion people on your planet because of people like you. Otherwise, how was the room?
Right.
Oh, it's very delicious. You'll have more askings and questions and things that come along. Just make little notes as they come along, and then when you get a string of them, Bob is at Faithful, Just, and True. He'll get you in pretty fast. We hope he don't delay you as much as at all possible. The schedule gets a bit crazy these days, but it's still great fun. And JW loves more than anything to play. It is the most euphoric, blissful experience of his day. And now it's becoming a great portion of his day, but he still loves it. He still loves it. It's very wonderful. Be easy about all this. Listen to your recordings again, and of course you'll accuse us of sneaking things into the recording because you're focused on your asking, and sometimes the hearing can come back and you go, that's profound, but it wasn't when I was in the throes of it, but it's
right.
pretty good.
That wasn't what you said before.
Yeah. Right. And you already know, that the worst part of life you've ever had has been pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
Already. So it just makes it even better and better and better and better and better. How very delightful. Well, therefore, if you have one more little thing we can do on the short spot, just so you can get complete.
A comment for my girlfriend, Vicky Berman.
Huh? When you learn how to find the delicious part of your life and love yourself and understanding what love is as a force field, anything is within your grasp instantly.
Got it. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Therefore, we are happily, eternally, and forever non-physical.